going to ask you if you'd like to come and visit one weekend to get to know her again and Jordan and this little darling here. That's all. Ain't nobody going to take you away from me, you hear? Yeah, I hear you, replied Gerald grudgingly. She just got carried away with the excitement of seeing you. She didn't mean no harm. Glancing down at the fragile bit of life in her lap, Aunt Queen asked Gerald, "Tell me, what do you think of our little angel here?" "She's awfully pretty," replied Gerald, "but she looks real sad." "I don't think she's had a very happy life, Gerald. I wish I'd had her with me, with us. We would have put a smile on that face." "And some meat on those bones," Gerald laughed. "She's so little and skinny. She looks like she'll break." Angel opened her eyes and smiled at him.
"Can I see your bike?" she asked. "I ain't never had a bike of my own."
"Me neither," said Gerald, "till Aunt Queen got it for my birthday. Come on, I'll teach you how to ride."
"I can't ride that big old bike," said Angel, as she climbed down from Aunt Queen's lap.
"I won't let you fall," said Gerald, laughing as they headed outside. Queen interrupted them. "Why don't you take off those hot black stockings, honey? It's a real nice day." Angel looked truly frightened, and her large eyes looked like those of a deer, frozen in fear by a hunter's gun.
"Oh, no, ma'am, I can't. Mama would get me. Mama would get me."
"Okay, honey," soothed Aunt Queen. "You can keep them on. I just wanted you to be more comfortable."
Queen looked troubled as they left. That child was terrified of something, she knew. Something was not quite right. "I'm going to have a good talk with Monique when she gets back," mused Queen. "That baby's missing some loving in her life, and I suspect she's got some hurting in her life that I'm going to put a stop to." Queen watched them from the window. Gerald had friends in the neighborhood, but nobody really close. She didn't remember ever having seen him play with a girl. But she smiled as she watched the two children in the backyard. Gerald, tough, brown, and wiry, seemed almost gentle as he helped the fragile, pale child balance on the bicycle. When the bike got off balance, he caught her and broke her fall, letting the bike hit the dirt rather than Angel. Then he brushed the dirt off her dress and helped her get a speck out of her eye. He was almost protective of her. Queen thought it was a little unusual since the two children had just met, but they really seemed to like each other. Gerald was showing her all of the secrets of his backyard, while she obliged him by being genuinely impressed with his rock collection, his fighting sticks, and even his treasure box. Her large, expressive eyes looked at him with absolute adoration. Queen muttered to herself, "Take him away from me? No way. What I need to do is bring that child here with me and Gerald. Poor little thing needs some lovin'." Suddenly, Queen felt flushed and warm. She felt dizzy, then faint. She couldn't breathe. Her arms were tingling. She shook her arms and her head, trying to clear the thickness that was overtaking her. She tried to call out to Gerald, but the pain in her chest made it feel like it was going to explode. She gasped, then fell out of her wheelchair with a soft thud. 7. Gerald and Angel burst in the door together, laughing.
"Hey, Aunt Queen," Gerald began. "Can we have some what?"
He stopped suddenly and screamed,
"Aunt Queen! Aunt Queen, what happened?"
Queen did not respond. Her eyes were rolled back, and she didn't seem to be breathing.
"I gotta call 911. Angel, run next door and call Mama. Do you know the number?"
Angel, glad to have something to do, nodded, terrified, and left. She could hear Gerald screaming into the telephone.
"Come quick! It's my aunt. She fell out of her wheelchair and she's not breathing. Yes, yes, the address is 6254 Chamber Street. Please hurry. Oh, please hurry."
He remembered seeing CPR on television, but no one had ever given him lessons. He tried anyway. He crawled over to Aunt Queen on the floor, tears streaming down his face, and tried to breathe under her tight and silent lips.
"Don't die, Aunt Queen," he moaned. "Please don't die."
He could hear the sirens in the distance. As the ambulance screamed into the driveway, Gerald jumped up to rush the paramedics to Aunt Queen. He almost bumped into Angel, who was coming back into the house.
"Did you call them?" he nearly screamed at her.
"There was nobody home next door. I even tried the next house. I'm sorry, Gerald. Don't be mad at me."
"Sorry, I didn't mean to yell. Come on, the ambulance is here. You can call Mama while they're helping Aunt Queen."
The ambulance drivers, dressed in blue, seemed to Gerald to take an awfully long time while they poked and measured and assessed Aunt Queen.
"Is she going to be all right?"
he asked. "We're doing our best, young man. Did you see her fall?"
"No, we were outside. We came in and she was just laying there."
"Well, you did the right thing by calling us so quickly. We're going to take her to the hospital now. Is there another adult around?" Angel spoke up.
"My mama's coming."
Then she looked at the ambulance driver.
"I remember you. You tell funny stories."
The driver glanced down at her.
"Of course. How you doing, Punkin? No more breaks and bruises?"
Angel looked scared then and ran and hid behind Gerald. The driver looked at him and said, "Take care of her, kid. I gotta go. Your aunt's gonna be at General Hospital." Gerald looked at Angel with puzzlement.
"What was that all about?"
"Oh, he came to my school on safety day,"
Angel said without looking at him. Gerald was about to say something else when Monique burst in the door.
"I just saw the ambulance leave. What happened?"
"I think Aunt Queen had a heart attack," declared Gerald, who was really starting to feel scared.
"She looked really bad. She wasn't breathing," he whispered.
"Well, let's get down to the hospital," said Monique. "Jordan's waiting in the car. He's not real happy because there's a baseball game on TV, and he had to leave before it was over. Hurry!" Gerald glanced at Angel, but she only looked at the floor. He locked the back door as they left, and somehow he knew that things would never be the same. Jordan drove them to the hospital, not speaking the whole time. Gerald and Angel sat in the back seat, frightened of him, and frightened of what was going to happen. When they got to the hospital, Jordan growled at Monique in his gravelly voice,
"Call me when you're ready to come home. I can't be sitting around no hospital all day."
With that, he was gone. Monique asked at the desk, and they were shown to a small waiting room. Gerald didn't like hospitals. He remembered when he had been there before. He felt hot and scared and unable to breathe. Angel kept her head down, wouldn't look at any doctor or nurse who passed by, and refused to speak. Finally, a tired-looking doctor dressed in blue scrubs walked into the room. "Mrs. Sparks?" Monique looked up, hopeful, trusting.
"Is my aunt going to be okay?"
"I'm sorry, ma'am. We did all we could. She was gone before she even got here. Please accept my condolences." Monique sobbed. Gerald, who hoped he had misunderstood, who knew he would die himself without Aunt Queen in his world, said hoarsely,
Is she dead?"
"Yes, son," replied the doctor. "I'm so sorry." Gerald dropped to the floor, buried his head in his hands, and sat there, moaning and rocking, moaning and rocking. The doctor, who knew that grief had to work itself out, patted him on his head and left quietly. Monique looked at Gerald and felt she ought to do something, but she was afraid to touch him or to try to hold him. She was afraid that he would blame her for Aunt Queen's death. So she sat there, wiping her tears with a Kleenex and watching her son shudder with grief in the middle of the waiting room floor. Angel, who had been watching quietly, walked slowly over to Gerald, sat down next to him, and took his hand in hers. She held his hand, which was cold and trembling, in her small, warm ones. She said nothing. Gradually, his breathing returned to normal and he was able to look at her. He saw pain in her large eyes, and he saw understanding. She helped him up then, and they walked, hand in hand, over to Monique. Gerald looked at Monique blankly. "Now what?" he asked dully. Monique, once again trying to fill the void, but not knowing how, said bluntly, "It looks like this turned out to be a pretty awful birthday for you. I'm really sorry. So I guess you're going to come and live with us after all. It'll be great. You'll see." She was nervous. "Let's go call Jordan. He'll be so pleased that you'll be living with us." She sounded as if she were trying to convince herself more than Gerald. Gerald sighed and, with shoulders stooped, followed Monique to the telephone. He didn't care about anything anymore. He and Angel stood there, listening to Monique's side of the conversation.
"Yes, but... I'm sorry. But we talked about... Well, it's not my fault."
"I'm sorry. How was I supposed to know?"
"But you promised!"
"I'm sorry."
"Well, it's too late now."
"I'm sorry." "It'll be all right. You'll see. I'm sorry." She hung up the phone, turned to the children, and smiled brightly.
"He's really happy about it, Gerald. Really, he is."
Gerald just looked at her and sighed. The only thing that kept him from bolting out of the hospital door and down the street into the darkness of forever was the warm little hand that held his, passing its fragile strength to him. Angel finally spoke.
"I'm sorry about Aunt Queen, Gerald. She gave real good hugs."
Gerald squeezed her hand and smiled a little.
"She sure did, Angel. The best in the world. Who's gonna hug us now?"
Eight. Gerald was miserable. It was 2 weeks before Christmas. It had been 6 months since the funeral, and the loss of Aunt Queen still cut him like a sharp, jagged knife. Life with Monique and Jordan was so different from the relaxed, loving atmosphere of Aunt Queen's house. Monique had tried to make it easy for him, but the small third-floor apartment was cramped and cold in the winter, cramped and hot in the summer. His precious bicycle that Aunt Queen had given him had been stolen 2 weeks after he'd moved in. He'd had to transfer to a new school, and he hadn't made many friends. The only person who could make Gerald smile was Angel. She was like a delicate little china doll, special and easily broken. She had a gentle spirit that smiled at him and made him want to protect her from brutes like Jordan. Jordan Sparks was mean, and Monique was truly afraid of him. He would hit her whenever she made him angry, which was often. She'd apologize and scurry around, trying to please him. When he got drunk, it was worse. One night, he had come home drunk and angry.
"Angel! Angel!" he roared. "Where's that stupid skinny kid? Always sneaking around and peeping from the shadows. Makes me sick. Angel! Get in here now!"
Terrified, Angel crept out of bed and peeked around the corner to see what he wanted. Gerald had gone to the store because Monique had forgotten to buy milk and bread. Angel glanced toward Monique's room, but she knew that her mother, as usual, would pretend not to hear.
"You leave that doll on the steps," he roared.
Wide-eyed and trembling, she nodded slightly.
"What you trying to do, kill somebody? Get that thing off of them steps, and do it now!"
Jordan, drunk and unsteady, blocked Angel's way to the door and the steps. She took a deep breath, lowered her head, and scurried past him. But she wasn't quick enough. His fist, like a hammer, connected with her back as she ran. She groaned in pain, but dared not stop. The steps were dark and narrow, and led from the outside door below to their apartment. Angel grabbed the doll and huddled on the steps a moment, tearful and throbbing, trying to figure out how to get past Jordan without getting hit again.
"Get back up here! I'm gonna teach you a lesson!"
Jordan's angry roaring echoed down the steps. He didn't hear the door open downstairs. Gerald glanced at the trembling angel, heard Jordan's drunken raging above, and quickly saw what he had to do. He motioned to Angel, left the paper sack of groceries on the bottom step, and quietly tiptoed up the steps. When he reached Angel, Gerald whispered, "Grab the doll and run upstairs. I'm right behind you." Angel looked at Gerald and smiled. She took a deep breath and bolted up the steps toward the waiting Jordan. At the top of the steps, she ducked to the right, just missing Jordan's fist. Gerald leaped into the room, jumped between Angel and Jordan, and the blow came down on him instead. Gerald was tough and strong, but the force of that punch almost made him lose his breath. It would have knocked Angel unconscious. "Don't you ever hit her," he snarled at Jordan between clenched teeth. Jordan just laughed and hit Gerald again. Gerald had found out the reason Angel hadn't wanted to take off her long black tights on that warm day last summer. Her legs had been covered with welts and bruises that Jordan had given her, trying, as he put it, to make her behave. Monique knew about it, but was so afraid of Jordan that she'd accepted it as appropriate discipline. Gerald also suspected that the reason the ambulance driver had remembered Angel was that he had driven her to the hospital for one of those bruisings, although Angel wouldn't talk about it. But since Gerald had arrived, the beatings had almost completely stopped, and Angel loved Gerald all the more for being her protector. Today, however, the house was quiet. Jordan had stomped his cowboy boots down the steps and down the street. He never said where he was going or when he would return. No one ever asked. Monique busied herself, trying to clean up the apartment a bit so that Jordan wouldn't have anything to yell about when he returned. She alternated between sweeping the floor and looking out the window for him. Even though Christmas was only 2 weeks away, Monique had not bothered with a tree or with lights or decorations of any sort for the apartment.
"Are we going to get a Christmas tree, Gerald?"
Angel asked as she walked over to where he was sitting, looking out the window at the cold winter day 3 stories below.
"I don't know, Angel. Me and Aunt Queen always had a big Christmas. What did you do last year?" "Not much. Jordan said Christmas was stupid, and Mama agreed."
"Yeah, she probably even apologized for Christmas," said Gerald scornfully.
"I tell you what, they've got Christmas trees down at the market where she works. When school gets out tomorrow for Christmas break, I'll stop by there on my way home and see if I can find one for us."
Angel smiled, then inhaled quickly, as if suddenly remembering a bad smell.
"Gerald," she said quietly, "don't be too late tomorrow, okay?"
"Sure, Angel," replied Gerald, not noticing her fear. "I'll find you the best tree ever." When Angel got home from school the next day, Jordan was sitting in the big chair in the living room, drinking a beer. The shades were down and the television was off. Angel tried to tiptoe past him, but he grabbed her arm.
"Where you been?" he snarled.
"I've been at school, Jordan," replied Angel with fear and disgust.
Jordan's breath really smelled bad.
"Go get me another beer," he commanded.
Angel hurried to get him a beer, hating the fact that she was acting just like Monique, frightened and fearful of Jordan's moods.
"Here, Jordan," said Angel, holding the can out at arm's length. "It's the last one."
She was immediately sorry that she had said that, for Jordan grabbed her arm and squeezed, snatching the can from her trembling hand. Then, instead of yelling at her or hitting her, he smiled, which to Angel was worse.
"Come here," he said softly. "Come sit on Jordan's lap. I don't spend enough time with my little girl."
I gotta do my homework," she stammered.
"Now, don't lie to me, girl. You in first grade, you ain't got no homework, especially at Christmas vacation. Now, I said, come here."
He snatched her toward him and sat her roughly on his lap. Terrified, she could only weep silently as he touched her, rubbing his hand over her arms, her back, her legs. He had done this many times before, ever since she was a baby in Atlanta, but very little since Gerald had come to live with them.
"Now, don't that feel good, baby?" he crooned at her. "Just relax. You know you like it."
Angel said nothing. She just wished that he would stop and hope that he would not want to play the game. Jordan whispered in her ear, his breath hot and foul.
"You remember our secret game, Angel? It's been a long time since we played. You remember the rules. Touching is good. Telling is bad. If you tell, your mama will put you out to live in the snow all alone, and you will die. Now, let's play."
Just then, Gerald opened the door. At first, when he saw Angel on Jordan's lap, he was confused. Jordan rarely showed affection to anyone, not to Monique, and especially not to the children. But to see Angel sitting there, looking so uncomfortable, Gerald thought suddenly. So miserable. Instantly he realized what was happening. Waves of disgust and hot, burning anger enveloped him. Angel glanced at Gerald. She looked at first relieved, then confused and embarrassed. She leaped from Jordan's lap and ran blindly to her bed. She put the covers over her head and trembled uncontrollably. Jordan, angry that he had been interrupted, slapped Gerald full in the face.
"Get out!" he roared. "I'm sick of looking at you. You and your mama and your stupid sister all make me sick."
Gerald said nothing for a moment, but stared at Jordan with hatred and pain. His hands, clenched into tight, angry fists, threatened at any moment to explode with purple rage into Jordan's face. But he didn't want to give Jordan the satisfaction of knowing that he had hurt him, and he didn't want to endanger Angel. Jordan started to hit Gerald again, but the fire in the boy's eyes made him stop. Instead, he grabbed his coat suddenly and ran out. Gerald went over to where Angel was still trembling beneath the covers and said gently,
"Did he hurt you, Angel?"
She peeked out.
"Is he gone?"
"Yes, probably to the bar on the corner. He's gone."
"Did he hurt you?"
Gerald repeated.
"No, Gerald, he didn't hurt me, but he scares me so bad. Don't be late like that again, please."
Her eyes were dark with fear. "I won't let him hurt you, Angel," swore Gerald. "Guess what?" he said, trying to cheer her up. "I found us a Christmas tree. The man at the market said he'd give it to me. It's just a little one, but it's just right for me and you. Tomorrow, you can come with me to get it."
"What about Jordan?"
asked Angel fearfully.
"Don't you worry about Jordan," Gerald told Angel. His voice was tight and tense. "You got me now, you hear?"
Angel relaxed a bit, then took Gerald's strong hands into her small ones. She looked up at him, smiled, and replied softly,
"I know you ain't happy here, Gerald, and I know that missing Aunt Queen makes you feel cold and frozen. I know, 'cause even in Atlanta, I was always cold on the inside, always cold. But since you've been around, I finally feel like sunshine."
Gerald smiled at her and said gently, "Merry Christmas, sunshine."
9. Gerald awoke on Christmas morning thinking of Aunt Queen. Last year, she had stayed up all night, cooking the turkey, wrapping surprises, and hiding them all over the house for Gerald to find. He sighed as he thought of how much his life had changed in just 1 year. Today, no smells of dressing and sauce and pie drifted to his room. Only the strong, silent smell of fear and secrets. Gerald tried not to think about the past or even the future. He survived each day by dealing with necessities, going to school, looking out for Angel, and hating Jordan Sparks. Jordan was mean, He smacked Gerald on the back of his head if he got a C on his report card. He punched him on his arm if he spilled the milk. And he whacked him on his legs for not bringing him a beer fast enough. When Monique tried to speak up, he only laughed and said, "Shut up, woman. I'm gonna make that stupid boy of yours a man." Gerald had learned to dodge and duck, but he wasn't always fast enough. He couldn't understand why Monique stayed with Jordan. He had asked her once, and her answer was more frightening than the question. It was the Friday before school started. Monique was laughing and dancing to a new song on the radio with Angel. Jordan wasn't home. Angel looked relaxed and happier than he had seen her in a long time. She was a natural dancer. Her petite frame and her long, graceful limbs made her movements seem as if they melted into the music. Monique collapsed, laughing, onto the couch next to Gerald as the fast song ended and was replaced by a slow, haunting melody. Angel had forgotten their presence and was moving, eyes closed, to the sweet rhythm of the song. Gerald glanced at Angel and then at Monique. "This is the first time I've seen Angel so happy, Monique." He still couldn't bring himself to call her Mama again. "She's always so nervous and scared around Jordan." "Jordan loves that child, Gerald," replied Monique defensively. "Do you know how he goes to her room every single night when he gets home, just to tuck her in and kiss her goodnight? Even if she's asleep, he goes in there and spends a few minutes with her. I can't figure out why she acts so scared and stupid all the time when he's around. It gets on my nerves." "Aren't you scared of him too, Monique?" "No, baby. That ain't fear. That's respect. He's a man and I'm a woman. He's stronger and tougher, and he takes care of me. It's okay if he gets a little rough sometimes. That's just to show me who's boss, and to show me he loves me." Gerald, who had grown up with the strength and toughness of Aunt Queen, didn't think that Monique made much sense. He knew he should leave it alone, but he had to ask. "Monique, why don't we just leave Jordan? Me and you and Angel could be real happy, and we wouldn't have to be scared anymore." Monique, eyes flashing, mood destroyed, turned on Gerald. "You shut up with that kind of talk, you hear? Jordan took you in and buys you food and clothes and tries to be a good father to you and Angel. You better learn some respect, boy. Who you think you are?" She had stormed out of the room then, ripping the radio out of the socket, abruptly stopping Angel's dance. That was the last time he had tried to talk to Monique about anything more complicated than homework, or shoes, or mashed potatoes. Angel was right. He felt cold inside. And on this Christmas morning, he felt cold outside as well. He slipped out of bed and shivered as his feet touched the cold floor. Then he tiptoed to the window and saw that it had snowed. He smiled in spite of himself. Aunt Queen had loved snow on Christmas morning. The rest of the year she had no patience with it, but Christmas snow was magic snow, she always said. Gerald wanted to show Angel. It didn't snow much in Atlanta, and she had never seen a fresh Christmas snowfall. He opened his door and was surprised to see Jordan leaving the small room near the kitchen, where Angel slept. Jordan didn't see Gerald. He just slipped into the room that he and Monique shared and closed the door quietly. Gerald, fearful of what he might find, refusing to even imagine what he had discovered, raced across the cold floor and opened Angel's door. Her bed was empty. Huddled in a corner, shivering in her thin nightgown, clinging to an old doll's blanket, Angel was crying silently. She looked up in fear when Gerald entered and backed farther into the corner. "No," she whispered. When she saw it was Gerald, she cried even harder. "It's freezing in here, Angel," said Gerald gently as he pulled the blanket off the bed and put it around her. He didn't ask her any questions. He handed her a sweatshirt and a pair of jeans and some socks from the box where Monique kept Angel's clothes. She dressed quietly and quickly and followed him to the front room where the small, thin tree stood decorated on the coffee table. With the blanket wrapped around both of them, they sat on the sofa in the darkness that Christmas morning, silent and sorrowful. Finally, Gerald spoke. "It snowed last night. Come look." Angel looked with wonder at the sparkling snow.
"Everything looks so clean. It's like all the bad stuff is covered up with shiny stuff," she said, barely smiling.
"Aunt Queen used to say that Christmas snow was magic snow," Gerald told her.
"Make a wish, Angel."
Angel squeezed her eyes tightly, held her breath, and whispered softly,
"Please, please, 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 please."
"Angel," Gerald said, gently interrupting her, "we gotta get help. We gotta tell somebody. We can't let him bother you anymore."
"No," she almost screamed. "He'll hurt Mama. He'll hurt you. He'll hurt me bad. He told me, and I believe him. It's not so bad. He just talks to me."
"I'm gonna tell, Angel," Gerald insisted. "I gotta tell somebody."
"Please don't, Gerald. If you do, I'll run away and hide in the snow. I'll say you're bad and you made it up."
Angel was almost hysterical.
"Okay, okay, calm down. I won't say anything now, but I want you to sleep in my room. You can sleep in the other twin bed. We'll tell Monique that you're scared of the dark."
"She won't care," replied Angel. "But Jordan will be real mad."
"I have an idea," said Gerald suddenly. "But we have to work fast."
Gerald ran to the area under the sink where Jordan kept his tools. He grabbed a screwdriver and a wrench and ran to Angel's room. Swiftly, he wriggled under the bed. Mystified, Angel heard the sound of the tools on the metal frame of the small bed. Gerald emerged, grinning. In his hand were 6 screws and 2 bolts. He tossed them into his pocket and hurriedly replaced Jordan's tools just as Monique and Jordan emerged from their bedroom.
"I'll tell you later," he whispered to Angel with a grin.
Monique smiled sleepily and said,
"Merry Christmas, my babies. Did you see the snow?"
Angel gave Gerald one quick look. It was a pleading one. He sighed and shook his head just a bit to show her he would not tell. At least not yet, he thought. Angel smiled sweetly at Monique.
"Merry Christmas, Mama. It's magic snow. Gerald told me so."
Gerald glanced at Jordan, who seemed to be relaxed and enjoying the snow. Jordan looked at Angel and, in that gravelly voice that Gerald hated, said to her,
"I got you a Christmas present, Angel."
Angel looked surprised. Jordan had never bought her anything special, not even on her birthday. Monique scurried back into the bedroom, brought out the box that the last pair of Jordan's new shoes had come in, and handed it to Angel with a grin.
"Here, baby, open it, quick!"
Gerald could hear scratching coming from within the box. Angel opened it, and out popped a tiny ball of tawny fur, which landed in her lap.
"A kitten!" screamed Angel with delight. "I'm going to name her Tiger."
Gerald was glad to see Angel smiling again, but he knew that this happiness would not last. He glanced at Jordan and Monique. Monique was watching the snow. Jordan was watching Angel. 10. When Jordan found out that Angel's bed was broken, he was angry and tried to fix it. But Jordan had no skill at fixing and repairing, and he quickly gave up the task with a curse and a kick to the bed. He then tried to move Gerald's extra bed to Angel's room, but it wouldn't fit in the small corner room where she slept, so he gave up, swearing he would buy a new bed as soon as he got a little cash. Gerald and Angel giggled at Jordan behind his back, and Angel moved to the other twin bed in Gerald's room. Angel was happy with Tiger the kitten and the safe sleeping arrangements. Gerald would read to her late at night, trying to remember the poems and stories that Aunt Queen had read to him. Sometimes they would hear Jordan coming in late from his job. His boots were always loud on the bare floor, but he never came into the room. He still smacked Gerald around whenever he got the chance, but not as frequently as he used to. He had a new job, which he liked, and was getting paid every week. Monique was like a little butterfly. She fluttered around the house, trying to make sure Jordan was happy. Gerald wondered when Monique ever got a chance to be happy herself, or if she even thought about it, but he never asked. She couldn't cook very well, so they ate a lot of fast food. Gerald missed Aunt Queen's home-cooked meals. He missed her home-cooked loving even more. Tiger loved French fries. She would jump up on the table and eat them right out of the bag. However, she knew to stay away from Jordan, who would knock her off the table with a sweep of his arm, or kick her if she got in his way. Angel would grab the cat and hug her until she stopped shaking and began to purr again. She dressed the cat up in doll clothes, pulled her along the floor in a box, and even decorated her tail with ribbons. Tiger allowed it all without complaint, snuggling each night at the foot of Angel's bed. When Angel got chickenpox, Tiger seemed to be pleased to have Angel home from school each day. Monique took 2 days off from work, mostly to watch the soaps, but she did open a can of chicken soup each day and give it to Angel. Angel hated chicken soup, so Tiger had great lunches. On the third day, Monique had to go back to work. Gerald had already left for school. Angel was still asleep.
"I'll watch her," Jordan growled carelessly.
"What about your job?"
Monique inquired hesitantly.
"Don't you worry about my job, woman. You just do yours. I said I'd watch the kid, and that's what I'm going to do. Now get to work."
Monique hurried out the door.
"She loves chicken soup,"
she called to Jordan as she left. When Angel woke up, she felt for the warm lump in the blanket called Tiger. The cat was gone. Angel felt itchy, but not as sick as at first. She hoped Mama had fixed peanut butter today. She was sick of soup. Angel got up, went to the bathroom, and tried not to scratch her spots.
"Tiger,"
she called.
Where could she be hiding? Angel thought.
Still concentrating on finding the cat, Angel didn't see Jordan until it was too late. He was sitting on her bed. She gasped and tried to run from the room, but he grabbed her arm and pulled her fiercely next to him.
"No, please, no, Jordan,"
she begged.
"Please don't, oh, please don't."
"Relax, girl. I ain't gonna hurt you. I just want to talk to you, to see how you feel."
"I feel fine, Jordan. Now leave me alone, please."
"Now you just let me see how well you feel. How's that rash? Hold up your shirt and let me see."
"No, Jordan. I don't want you to look at my rash. No!"
"I'm your daddy, girl. I'll look at your rash if I want to. How can I tell if you're getting better? Now take off that shirt."
Angel tearfully removed her t-shirt while Jordan watched. Her rash was very mild, and the spots were beginning to fade. He touched her back, and she tensed at the roughness of his fingers. Angel wept silently while he explored her body for chickenpox spots. He took his time. He found them all. Finally, he spoke.
"I've missed you, girl. I forgot what a special little angel you really are."
He headed out of the room.
"Oh, by the way, if you're looking for that stinking cat, it's in the oven. Don't worry, I didn't turn it on. But if you say one word to anybody, I swear I'll kill that cat and cook it."
With that, he slammed the door of the apartment and left. Angel was alone. Still shaking and sobbing, she ran to the kitchen and slowly opened the oven door. Tiger jumped into her arms. They stood there for a minute, clinging to each other in fear of the darkness they had seen. Angel, too terrified to tell and too frightened not to, clung to her cat and wept. 11. When Gerald got home, Angel was pale and feverish. Jordan had not come back all day. Gerald fixed Angel a scrambled egg and gave her some juice. She would not talk to him. He remembered when he got chickenpox how Aunt Queen had made a warm poultice out of something she found in the garden, and the itch had disappeared. What was bothering Angel seemed to be more than a rash. Gerald carried the worry deep and heavy in his gut. "Monique," he called to her as soon as she walked in, "I think Angel's getting worse. Come look." Monique sighed, glanced at Angel, and replied, "These things take time, Gerald. If she ain't better by tomorrow, I'll take her to the clinic. Right now, I'm going to give her something for her fever and a little of my good chicken soup. Let's see if that helps, okay?" "Why did you leave her here by herself?" Gerald asked. "I could have stayed home from school." "There was no need for you to stay home. Jordan stayed with her today." At the sound of Jordan's name, Angel's eyes got wide, but she said nothing. She moaned softly, then was silent again. Gerald frowned. "Well, he wasn't here when I got home from school," Gerald replied. "She's too little to be here all by herself." "Maybe he went to get some French fries for Tiger. You know he likes that cat," suggested Monique as she checked her hair in the mirror. Tiger was curled into a tight ball, very close to Angel. "Let's let him sleep, Gerald," said Monique. "I bet they'll both feel better in the morning." Gerald didn't sleep well. He watched Angel toss and turn and moan. He was worried. Finally, just before dawn, he gently shook her arm. "Angel," he said quietly. "Angel." She woke suddenly, eyes fearful and staring. Instinctively, she grabbed the covers and pulled them tightly around her. "It's me, Gerald. How do you feel?" Angel relaxed a bit and turned away from him. "I'm okay, Gerald. It's just chicken pox. Let me get some sleep." "What about Jordan?" "He ain't got chicken pox." "I gotta know, Angel. You gotta tell me. Did he bother you yesterday? Did he hurt you?" "I'm cold, Gerald." He pulled an extra blanket out of the closet and tucked it around her. "I'm always cold, Gerald, and scared. Jordan makes me feel like I'm cold and dead inside. He said he would kill Tiger. He said he would kill Mama. Make him go away, Gerald. Make him go away." "Did he touch you, Angel?" Gerald asked. He felt the anger rise like vomit in his throat. "I'm so cold." Angel refused to look at Gerald. She stared into the darkness, shivering with her fear. "Go back to sleep, Angel," Gerald said, trying to soothe her. "I'm going to make things better. Do you trust me?"
"Yes,"
she whispered softly. "I'll be back as soon as I can."
"Don't leave me here with Jordan,"
Angel whispered frantically.
"Where's my cat?"
"Tiger's right here at the foot of your bed, and Monique doesn't have to go to work until later. You'll be fine until I get back. Go back to sleep and relax. I'm going to take care of you, okay?"
"Okay, Gerald,"
she replied with sleepy trust. She sighed and drifted back to sleep. Gerald dressed quickly, took his book bag, and left the apartment. It was 6 a.m. Monique got up about 7 and decided to go to work early to put in some overtime. She noticed that Gerald was already gone. She shrugged, assumed he had gone to school early, and finished polishing her nails. She glanced at Angel, who was still asleep, but she didn't wake her, nor did she touch her to see if the child was feverish. She decided to change her shoes because they didn't match her dress and left to catch her bus. Gerald felt sick. He knew he had to get help in a hurry, but he didn't know where to go, who to talk to, or what he should do first. The bus dropped him off in front of Hazelwood Middle School, where he was in 6th grade. It stood empty and silent this early in the morning. The dark upstairs windows looked like huge, accusing eyes staring at him. The front door hadn't even been unlocked yet. Gerald sighed and sat on the curb, hoping that a teacher or counselor he knew and could trust would decide to come to work early today. He was hesitant to go to the police.
"What if they don't believe me?" he asked himself. "Will they believe a kid? I don't really have any proof. On TV, cops need hard evidence, or the bad guy gets away. What if I accuse Jordan of abuse or something, and they can't prove it? He'll be angry and get even more violent and maybe hurt Angel and..."
Gerald bowed his head and sighed in misery. He barely noticed the silver Buick that stopped in front of him.
"What's up, man? You look so down, that curb looks like up."
It was Robbie, the best basketball player at Hazelwood Middle School. Gerald liked Rob, who was always cracking jokes and acting silly.
"What you doing here so early?" Gerald asked. "My dad drops me off every morning before he goes to work. It's a little early, but I finish up my homework or go to sleep in the locker room. That door is always open early. Want a donut?"
"Nah, man. I got a lot on my mind today."
Rob's dad, who was standing at the back of the car getting Robbie's bag and lunch out of the trunk, glanced at Gerald with concern. Gerald didn't know Rob's dad very well, but he probably knew him better than any father of his friends. Mr. Washington was active on the school parent council and came to all of the basketball games, track meets, and school plays. He and his wife often had Rob's friends to their home on weekends. They had a finished rec room, a huge backyard, and a refrigerator that always seemed to be well stocked with essentials like pizza and ice cream and soda pop. Gerald wasn't sure if they were wealthy or not, but they sure had lots of things that he and Monique and Angel couldn't afford. Gerald had only been there once, and although he'd felt uncomfortable at first, Rob's family had made him feel at home. Mr. Washington touched Gerald on the shoulder.
"You all right, son?" he asked with genuine concern.
Gerald had planned to shrug, laugh, and head to the gym with Rob. But the touch of Rob's father's hand on his shoulder seemed to let everything come loose. He tried to hold them back, but tears of fear and worry began to escape from his tightly clenched eyes. Embarrassed, he sniffed and lowered his head. Rob's father motioned for his son to go on into the building and squatted on the curb next to Gerald.
"Let's go get something to eat, Gerald," he said quietly.
He offered his hand. Gerald sighed, wiped his eyes on his coat sleeve, took the offered hand, and got in the car. Mr. Washington asked no questions at first. At McDonald's, he ordered a cup of coffee and a hot chocolate, got extra cream and sugar for both, and steered Gerald to a booth near the back. Gerald sipped the cocoa gratefully, the warmth of it relaxing him. He thought of Aunt Queen, who loved her black coffee every morning. He knew that Queen would have liked Rob's dad. She approved of black men in blue suits who had jobs and offices downtown. Mr. Washington had called his office from a payphone, so he casually read the morning paper while Gerald sat silently, trying to figure out where to start.
"It's my sister," he said finally.
"How old is she?"
"Almost 7. Her name is Angel."
"Is she sick?"
"No, she, she's got, chicken pox."
"I thought you said she wasn't sick."
"Well, the chicken pox is not the problem. See, she can't go to school, so Jordan stays with her and he...
"Who's Jordan?"
"My stepfather. He drinks, and he's mean, and he smacks me around, but that's not the problem. I can handle it. I think he's doing stuff to Angel that he shouldn't. And I don't know what to do. I can't go to the cops. They might not believe me. She's so scared of him, she won't even admit it to me, but I know he's hurting her. And I don't know what to do or who to tell or..."
He stopped, in tears again, but this time he wasn't ashamed. He felt cleaner now that he had finally told someone. Someone who he knew could help.
"You were right to tell me, Gerald," Mr. Washington assured him with a sigh. "I'm glad you trusted me. Let's go get this stopped right now.
Where is this Jordan?
At home, with Angel.
Let's hurry. We're going to the police.
Twelve. Jordan took out a cigarette, put his feet up on the coffee table, and smiled, looking forward to another day with his little Angel. When Angel woke up, the cat was missing again, and she could hear Jordan's boots as he walked around the apartment. He was whistling. She looked at the window. It was narrow and had been painted shut years ago. Even if she hid under the bed, there was no escape. She felt like she was going to throw up. Jordan's footsteps approached. He opened the door. He was smiling.
"I brought breakfast in bed for my little girl," he said cheerfully. "Come and eat. You look a little pale."
Angel darted past him out of the bedroom door and mumbled,
"I have to go to the bathroom."
She stayed in the bathroom as long as she could, but the door had no lock, and she watched as he turned the knob from the outside.
"Your breakfast is getting cold," Jordan declared. "Don't you appreciate what I've done for you?"
"Thank you, Jordan, for the breakfast, but I'm not very hungry. Where's my cat?"
Jordan's loud laughter startled her.
"Ha! You think I killed that stupid cat? Not yet. Maybe I won't have to. Come here."
Angel's feet would not walk toward Jordan. His boots clumped on the bare wood floor as he walked over to her. He picked her up, then kicked open the bedroom door. He placed her gently on the bed.
"Today," he said softly, "we got the whole day to spend together. Ain't that grand?"
Angel trembled with disgust and fear. Jordan turned the radio up loud and closed her door. Jordan didn't hear the apartment door open. He didn't notice that Gerald had quietly opened Angel's door or that two uniformed police officers were standing there until just before they grabbed him and handcuffed him. He roared in anger and tried to get away, but it was too late. "Jordan Sparks, you are under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can and will be used in a court of law. You have the right to..." They dragged him, screaming and cursing, from the house. Gerald watched with a grim smile.
"What happened, Gerald? How did you know? He said he killed Tiger. I'm sorry, Gerald. It's all my fault."
Angel was almost hysterical. Relieved at escaping what she feared and dared not imagine, she did not know how to react. Gerald tried to calm her down.
"Shh, shh, shh," he whispered. "I found someone that we could trust. I told him everything. He called the police and helped me to convince them to come here right away. I was afraid I would be too late." "Oh, Gerald, was I bad? Is Jordan going to get in trouble because of me? It's all my fault."
"No, Angel," soothed Gerald. "It's not your fault, not even a little bit. Jordan was a very bad man. He was doing bad things. You did the right thing. I'm going to be here for you, and everything is going to be better. I promise." Angel cried then, not for Jordan, but for herself, and for lost dreams, and for secrets in the night. Finally, she stopped sobbing and looked up at Gerald, who had wrapped his arms protectively around her.
"Where's my cat?"
she asked. Gerald laughed and let Tiger out of Monique and Jordan's bedroom. Angel squeezed the cat so hard that she burped. Gerald and Angel began to laugh uncontrollably. Gerald almost wet his pants, and Angel fell on the floor, rolling in laughter. That's how Monique found them when she marched through the door, angry and upset.
"What's so funny?" she screamed. "You think it's funny to send a man to jail for something he ain't done? You low-life children! I ought to kill both of you! How dare you lie on a good man like Jordan?"
Instantly serious, Angel and Gerald looked at Monique in amazement.
"Mama, it's true. I didn't make it up. Jordan's been... been bothering me for a long time. He comes in my room at night and he...
You lie! Roared Monique. You filthy liar!
Gerald spoke up. I saw him do it, Monique. She ain't lying. He told her he would kill her cat if she told. I was the one that told. I've seen him coming out of her room at night. I'm sorry, Monique, but it's true. Monique threw her purse at him and burst into tears. She ran into her bedroom screaming and sobbing. Gerald and Angel exchanged glances.
Looks like it's me and you, kid, Gerald said quietly. Just me and you.
13. Gerald and Angel couldn't have made it through the trial without Mr. Washington.